This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 30 Minutes W. This morning, I'll be having a chat with us on the topic, our light afflictions. When you look at the book of 2 Corinthians 4:17, it was striking when Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, getting us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." We must acknowledge that all of us in Christendom did not start our journey from the same positions. While some of us started out as maybe children of pastors, some started out as children of lawyers, some as children of herbalists, some started out even in life as Muslims. Basically every one of us started out as slaves and became to embrace the gospel. At different times, some of us at the age of 11, some at 12, some at 18, some at 20, some at 30. Some people, it's long after they are tangled up their life and made a mess of their destiny, they turn to Christ. After they've had abortion, some they've been caught stealing, some when they were in prison. Some when they speak on the hospital bed. Our realities are so different. We came into Christ. And then after we came into Christ, for us, the gospel we heard was a gospel of works. We were told, "You have come out of a bondage, but you have come into another bondage." We were not taught the liberty that came with Christ. We were not given the privilege of enjoying the fullness of the freedom. Our churches taught us a lot of things. They taught us about enemies. They taught us about warfare. They taught us about principalities and powers. They taught us how to pray, and the prayers they taught us were wrong. They taught us how to earn it. They told us that if we make any mistake, we are falling short of the glory of God, and God does not want anything to do with us again. Not how to be ourselves, believe God will hear or answer our prayers. Our eyes were taken too tight from Christ. Our eyes were placed on ourselves. If anything goes wrong, we are the reasons why the bad things are happening to us. We are the reasons why the enemy got our number. We are the reasons why we didn't have a baby on time. We are the reason why we didn't get married on time. It was because of us that there was addiction in the family. We were told a lot of things. There are churches out there today, majority of the churches, that this is their prevalent belief system. And even though That is the truth. They preach the gospel that the members believe but cannot live. It's a sad situation. Many people on social media will be writing about righteousness and holiness and performance, but they don't perform. They can't. There is no way for them to. So you will see the hypocrisy. How you believe a thing, but your lifestyle is something else. It's hypocritical. You believe something. That's what you confess to everybody. That's what is in your head. Mental belief. You will say it. "Oh, for without holiness, no one can see the Lord." The person saying it is not holy. They don't even know how to be. But that is the programming. So what you are programmed to say and the life you are programmed to live are two different realities. And I found what I'm telling you to be absolutely true. Exactly. There was no honesty. Right now, the chairmanship estate where I live, they had to shut it down because of embezzlement. These are seasoned pastors. Imagine living in a community of everybody are pastors and people are embezzling money. They are fighting over estate fund, federal government fund. In this same estate, in this same community where I live, the people that are in charge of our electricity embezzled 900 million naira last year. They had to sack everyone on the electrical board and they had to bring in another chief because they found in the account of some of the members 60 million, 80 million, 100 million that was siphoned off the electrical bills that we were paying. You can imagine my shock when I was told that the FCC came to pick the financial controller of the ministry that owned the estate where I live because they found 6 billion naira in his account that he couldn't account for. And they were wondering if it was funding terrorism or where did he get the money. Oh, so you get the picture. These are grounded Christians, the kind of Christians that others tell, oh, that is the kind of Christian I want to be like. But when they get into them, you realize what they preach and who they are two different things. You see? But this was the gospel we received. This was how we were taught. Then we began to read the scriptures ourselves. And I'm saying about this Christian community, it's true about your own church, it's true, by the way. Because I tell you truth, God's truth. I've been a PA in churches. I was a PA in churches for over 10 years. From 2009, I worked in and out as a PA with other jobs, but I was a PA to pastors for years. And I can tell you categorically that religion is exactly what I just described for you. Either it is Islam or Christianity, the religious aspect of Christianity, any other religion. What religion means is that you say A and you leave B. You know in your head what it means, what it takes to make heaven, but you don't do it because you cannot do it. So, but you keep insisting that that is the way. But you know, so every time you want to talk, you say, I'm a sinner, I'm falling short. You are always confessing your sin because you know that you cannot live up to that standard. So you deliberately erect a standard that can live up to. And then you insist that that standard that will please God. Even on this call that you don't live up to that standard. So in order to live up to that standard, some people will cut their hair, wear long skirts, not use makeup. Some men will wear certain kind of trousers. They will not wear jeans. I remember I was at a church in Ijibu. I went to minister years ago. And they told me to take off my jeans before I teach Sunday school. They said I cannot wear jeans and teach Sunday school. I couldn't believe it. They took off my jeans. They gave me one brother's trousers. They said me and the brothers would change. The brother wore my jeans and the brother was feeling like a sinner. So to them in that community, jeans is clothes of sinners. Because Michael Jackson wears. I'm just trying to make you see the hypocrisy, the nonentity, and the nonsense of religion. But that was what we were brought into. That was how we thought we could please God. That was the mindset that was given. It took us time to untangle this truth, to read the scriptures for ourselves and see in the Bible that we have eternal life. And that we do not have sin. That you cannot have eternal life and have sin at the same time. It is either you are a sinner and you are lost, or you have been redeemed. Don't forget your redemption. Many of us have forgotten that the work of redemption is a total work of salvation, which is a total work of salvation from sin. What were you saved from? If you say you are a born-again Christian, what were you saved from? Was it not sin? Like, man was under the yoke of sin from the days of Adam. And under Christ, man was liberated from sin. Zechariah chapter 3, God said, I will take away the sin of the land in one day. But the day Jesus died, the sin of the land was taken away. It's in your Bible. Written there boldly, without any hiding. Written there. Was it a few days ago they were talking about people vilifying Richard on social media for saying that once you're saved, you are always saved. And people are dragging the man. Those who are dragging the man, they were dragging him from their mental position. What they believe in their head and the lifestyle they are living are two different things. This automatically makes you an hypocrite. Let me say that again. The definition of hypocrisy is saying a thing and living another thing. When your life and your lifestyle are not united, when you cannot say, this is my lifestyle boldly, and then bring it to the world to see. But when you have a face that is holy, then you have another face that is unholy. So like wearing a mask. So you wear this mask when you want to go to church, but you wear another mask when you are going to your office. That automatically makes you an actor. Hypocrite is acting. Hypocrisy is acting. So the word hypocrites was the Roman or Greek word for acting. It basically means you are not living the real life. You're an actor. Yeah. Too many of our pastors and leaders in religion are basically actors. You see, sometimes their true nature comes forth. You see an apostle saying, I raised this boy in ministry. Now he has started his own ministry. I could have caused him. I could have made him mad. I could have made him go crazy. When you see people talk like that, they're acting. It shows their true character was not saved. I'm talking about one apostle that did a video and was talking about another boy that raised the ministry and was famed on YouTube in public. That it was given to me by the power that was given to me, I could have caused it. When I heard it, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, you are saying it in public. You're an actor. You do not even understand grace. You do not understand Jesus. You're just carrying the title apostle up and down. You don't know him. You don't know him. You are a placeholder. That is what we call a placeholder. Somebody who is just occupying space, but is not the true owner of the space. You see? That's a placeholder. There are so many pastors that are placeholders in Christ that do not really live the life of Christ or reflect it. And we came under the teachings of this pastor. We didn't know any better. We came to their churches. We joined the workforce and we began to listen to them preach every Sunday. We began to watch them and look at their lifestyle and look at the way they talk, the way they think. And some of us bought into them. Seriously. You know, I remember somebody that was quite close to me who bought into them so seriously. When the person hears me talking, the person says to me, hey, people are going to go to hell. This thing you are telling people, it is not true. Nobody is going to hell. Nobody is going to hell for knowing that they are free in Christ. It is that liberty that gives everybody the freedom to become and attain all that they are and they will ever be in Christ. However, this is where I'm going. In order for you and I to then decongest and fulfill our destinies in Christ, we must come to know the true gospel for ourselves. That is why everybody must have a copy of the Bible and everybody must read the Bible as it is written by ourselves. After reading the Bible by yourself, without the lens or the voice of your pastor or pope or bishop in your head, you will come to conclude two things. Number one, you will know for sure you have eternal life. You will know for sure you are a saint, that you are not a sinner. You will know for sure that God is not angry with you. He has expended all his anger on Jesus Christ on the cross, and you are a child of redemption. You have been born free. You will know for sure that you are born in Zion. That you are not an alien to the covenant. You will know for sure that in Christ Jesus you have all things. You will know this. These are not things that will be alien to you anymore. You will know you have all authority in heaven and on the earth. You will know you have power. You'll be speaking in tongues. Nobody will be talking to you. You'll not be arguing. Speaking in tongues for some people. Speaking in tongues for the people. It's because you don't know scripture. Go and read it to yourself. You will know that speaking in tongues is your right. You must speak the language of the city you are born. People might go to America all the time. When they move to America, they begin to learn the American language. People might go to Germany, they begin to learn the German language. If you might go to a city, you begin to learn their language and their way of life. Ditto, when you come into Christ, you must learn the language of Zion. And tongues was the language that was downloaded from heaven in Acts chapter 2 for everybody to speak if they will be citizens of Zion. It is not an argument. If you belong to Zion, you say you are born again, you must speak the language of the city where you are born. It is said of me, I was born there. I was born in the city of love and light. I'm a citizen of Zion. So I speak in tongues. I speak the language of Zion. I speak the language in just understand. I speak the language that God gave us. He promised he will give us that language in the book of Isaiah. When he said with stammering lips and stammering tongues, they will speak. Isaiah, he has promised them that tongue since Isaiah. Promised it to them in Joel. And then he fulfilled it in Acts chapter 2. So you will speak the language. Then after you have come to know this truth, I've come to speak in tongues. You are full of the Holy Spirit. You know you are a saint. Then comes living out your life the gospel way, the way in which you are not acting. That you do not have a public face and a private face. Your life is just open, an open book. When you begin to live your life, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of happiness, a life of love, you begin to live that life. Without hiding anything, without hiding anything, an open life. So it doesn't matter what you just live your life. As a religious person, you hide a lot of things. You must have a secret life and a public life. The way you act in secret and the way you act in the open are not the same. That's not true of somebody that is truly born again. So you know how Jesus lived his life in such a way that, it would, for example, Jesus would openly go to a bar. The Bible said to, Bible said Jesus Christ would sit down with sinners, and would eat with them, and then they would drink with them, and then they would talk to them. It's your Bible, right? I didn't make it up. It's actually the Bible. They call them this, they call them a wine by party. This, he said it didn't come for those who are religious. It came for those. These are the people I came from. And when he came for them, he didn't, you will notice that when he was preaching, he wasn't preaching against their way of life. He was bringing them into a new reality in himself. So Jesus' sermon was not, don't wear toaster, don't wear the car, don't use makeup. That wasn't Jesus' sermon. Jesus Christ was talking about things that are far above such, you know, mundane, heretical nonsense. He wasn't concerned about that. He was talking to them about the kingdom of God, about the salvation of their soul, about the higher purpose in life, about a life beyond the human life. He was telling people about the kingdom of God. So people began to come into the kingdom, and then they expected that when they enter into the kingdom, everything will be rosy. But there will be no more sorrow, no more struggle, no more pain. At least, was that not what was promised? Now, when we come into this kingdom, when we come into the knowledge of this kingdom, that we will have, everything will just be perfect, right? Everything will be fine. And then we discover that we are in the kingdom. We now know the truth. We are walking in this truth. And then something wasn't perfect. We have a child. And the child issues. You are married. And your marriage has issues. You discover you have issues with finances. You suddenly discover that maybe something is wrong, maybe with your body, maybe you have an illness. You suddenly discover that Things were not as rosy as you expected them to be. It's confusing, right? To come into a city of love and light, a city where there is no sickness, where there is no sorrow, where there is no pain, and then to be experiencing sickness, sorrow, and pain in that city. You know you are born again, you know, the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues. You know you have the full expressions of the Holy Spirit. And then you have these things that Apostle Paul called light afflictions. There's a delay in you getting pregnant. There's a delay in you getting married. In fact, sometimes you even see a pattern. Like, even your sister or your cousin that is not born again, the same thing is to him or her, and that same thing is happening to you that is born again. You are wondering, okay, so what is the difference? It's true. I wasn't born again. He wasn't born again. I am born again. And both of us are bedwetting. Why? Why? Why is he bedwetting at age 5? And this person is also bedwetting. And he's a Muslim. And I only again say, does that mean that the gospel did not make any impact? Does that mean that the gospel does not make any impact? Does that mean that really, am I deluding myself? Am I lying to myself? Is this true? Am I really in Christ? Right? You know, you then begin to question many things. Let me say this to every one of us. That there is glory ahead of light affliction. As a special compensation for everyone of us has to bear any form of light affliction in this life. Now, I'm not promising you something that is not in your scriptures. If you look at 2 Corinthians again for yourself, 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Like I said when I started, we all joined this walk from different places. After we joined, we began to sort out our reality in Christ. We began to settle into Christ. Continuously, we are living our lives. Even when we are wrong, we are living with that wrong understanding until we came into light. After we came into light, we have gone far. For example, Apostle Paul had already minded the killing of Stephen before he became born again. If it was under today's law, Apostle Paul should be arrested and he should be jailed for murder. But you know that when he committed that murder, he had no knowledge. You see now, that will not be light affliction for him. He will be in prison. He will have knowledge. He will still be saving souls in prison, praying in tongues in prison, behaving well in prison until they will give him honorable discharge or discharge due to good behavior, maybe in 20 or 30 years. But you see, the consequence of the decisions he made before he came to Christ, he would have borne it. But that will not make him stand high. Because to him now, that is light affliction. That is as a consequence of the way he lived, the choices he made before he came to know the light. There are some of us that, as soon as we came to know the light, because we didn't have any social consequence, but we had physical consequence. Maybe we eat, decisions we made when we were young and naive, they came to play a part. Then there's healing for our body. God heals us, takes away our pain, takes away the pain of the abortion, takes away the guilty conscience, takes away the depression, and we become light. And then we begin to feed ourselves with scripture, reading the scriptures, praying, doing the work of the gospel. And suddenly we realize we are free. There is even no light affliction for us. Like somebody like me. Nah. My life is a life of bliss. Like, I don't know how God has done it, but he has done it in such a way that I live a glorious life. And you're also living a glorious life. But if I think of my life in another way, I may be coming here and telling you, oh, I've gone through this in the last 1 year. I've gone through that. My life is over. I can do that. So some of us, we do not understand what it means to live this life of Christ. We're always looking at things from the flesh. Some of us, even though we are born again, we are full of the Holy Spirit, we are redeemed. But our mindset is so negative, so that we neglect the things we are supposed to be grateful for, and then we are always crying, complaining, griping about the things that do not matter. I don't have a husband yet. I don't have a baby yet. Oh, thank God. Yeah. I can also be saying the same thing to you. But why would I? My eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. I can never forget my redemption. I can never forget where I was when He found me. What was why I said, I do not even have light affliction. You see? Like, light affliction, so some of us are here and we really believe that we are going through a lot. So I'm not earning salary. The economy is so bad. There's no food. Light affliction. That's a light affliction. Apostle Paul's light affliction was shipwreck, was a snake stinging him in the hand until they threw it into the fire. Apostle Paul's light affliction was people leading him out of the temple trying to stone him to death. John's light affliction was being imprisoned in the island of Patmos. Peter's light affliction was imprisonment in Rome. I'm going to continue. James' light affliction was to be killed by Herod. Can you compare the light affliction to your own light affliction, the one you are crying about? Oh, no, no job! Already $10, I don't have only $35 power. My light affliction, yeah! The light affliction is a joke. so am I. I'm just trying to make you see that those are light afflictions. But even then, they were not counted. The Bible said, it is preparing you in character for tomorrow. Let me say that again. It says your light affliction, which is but for a moment, which will still last forever, works for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There is glory ahead. You should rejoice. But there is going to be the birth of that baby. Babies are coming. You will be pregnant. You will deliver many children like Hannah. You will get married. You would get that job. You would start that company. The things you are complaining about now, you would end up doing that. But don't forget that you are also supposed to please God now towards that future. But if all you do now is complain and you don't thank God, you are not happy, you do not see the scripture the right way, you are only complaining all the time, pray, enemy of my father, enemy. If that's all you do, you are going to miss out on the joy of now because you do not see things the way you should see them. There is glory ahead. Tell yourself, I'm walking towards glory. There is glory ahead of me. There is everything I'm going through now is working for me a far and exceeding eternal weight of glory. There is glory ahead of me. There is glory ahead of JSW. I'm walking into glory daily. This is my reality in Christ. I love you with all my heart. As you go to your churches today, I declare you're blessed. I declare that the hand of the Lord is upon you and that the glory of God is heavy over your destiny. I declare you are blessed. And that when you meet people who are going through light afflictions and you hug them by encouraging them, you are putting into them light and life. They see you and they see the glory of God in your life and they rejoice. Your touch is a touch of joy. Your countenance is a countenance of joy. You are sharpening the dull faces of other believers everywhere you go. I declare you are a blessing. I declare you are a joy. I declare you are Zion. Thank you, Father, for this is true. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content.